Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission. So I want to start off this morning by introducing you to a woman by the name of Anna Maria Jarvis. That name may or may not sound familiar to you, but whether you recognize that name or not, we have all been impacted by Anna Maria Jarvis because she is the founder of Mother's Day. So, Mother's Day has been around now for 117 years, actually 117 years today, because it was founded on May 12th, 1907, and it was a way for Miss Jarvis to honor and to celebrate her late mother, who had been active in organizing and developing women's groups throughout her lifetime. So within nearly 5 years, every state in the United States was observing Mother's Day, and in 1914, President Woodrow Wilson declared it to be a national holiday to be observed every year. So here we are 117 years later, and we are still celebrating Mother's Day, but as we think about this, the day is not completely what it started out as. It has grown and changed over the years, becoming and looking different. When it began, Jarvis simply asked people to wear a pink or a red carnation to honor their mother if their mother was still alive, and to wear a white carnation if their mother had passed away already. So over time, as Mother's Day grew, grandmothers and aunts and other women who played motherly roles in our lives began to be honored as well. But Mother's Day was still not done growing, because as we look at Mother's Day today, Mother's Day really isn't about wearing a flower to honor our moms anymore. Now we maybe send our moms flowers, or we send our mom a card in the mail, or we buy our moms a gift, or maybe we buy a gift for those in those mom-like roles in our lives. And so Mother's Day has continued to grow and to change. So last week we launched into a new series titled Growing in Every Day, as we're growing in every way, but we need to grow every day. But as we're going through this series, we're walking through the book of Ephesians, the second half of the book of Ephesians. As we look at the second half of the book of Ephesians, we see this call for the believer to be growing in their walks with Christ. Now, as we think about the call for the believer to grow, what this means is that, like Mother's Day, we aren't going to look like we did when we first began. Now, when we first began, when we gave our lives to Christ, we were babies in the faith. We were like little children in the faith, and that's okay, because that's why it's called being reborn. We are starting over in Christ. We are like babies in the faith, but 5, 10, or even 20 years later, our life should not look the same as it did when we started. 5, 10, 20 years later, we should not still be babies in the faith. We should change, and we should begin to look different as we grow in God's Word over the years. Which, by the way, as we think about moms love their little children. Especially, man, they love their little babies, but their desire for their little babies, even though they love their little babies, you know this to be true. You don't want your children to stay as little babies. You want your children to learn and to grow. You desire for your children to become adults one day. That's God's desire for His children as well. God desires for us, yes, to first be reborn, to come to faith in Christ, to be little babies in the faith. But his desire is not for us to stay that way. His desire is for us to learn and to grow that we might become spiritually mature adults in the faith. And we're going to see that as we look at our passage this morning. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 17 through 24 this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. Now, as you're turning there, let me set this up for you. Our passage starts out this morning with that word, therefore. And so we want to look back and see what this word, therefore, is pointing back to. And we don't have to look far. So let me take you back to just verse 16 of chapter 4. We looked at this verse last week. It says, from him, the whole body fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament promotes the growth of the body for building itself up in love by the proper working of each individual part. So if you remember from last week, Paul was really talking about, he was really focusing on the spiritual growth of the local church as a whole. However, in order for the local church to grow, what we saw is that every individual member needs to be growing as well. If a local church is going to be spiritually growing, that means that its members have to be spiritually growing. If First Baptist Church Stockdale is going to be spiritually growing, that means that we have to be spiritually growing as individual members of this church. And Paul really highlights that in verse 16 for us when he says, by the proper working of each individual part. When he says this, we really have this reminder that every member matters. Hear that again. Every member matters. If you're a member here at First Baptist Church Stockdale, I want you to hear me. You matter. You matter to God, you matter to me as your pastor, and you matter to the church as a whole. Now, here's the reality. We may not always feel like we matter. And we may not feel like we matter, maybe because of something external or something internal. An external example, it may be that someone over the years, or maybe a group of people over the years, have made you feel like you don't matter. And if that's the case, then let me just apologize. You should never have been made to feel like you don't matter. And so I'm sorry. And so I would ask that you forgive that person, you forgive those people, you forgive the church. But sometimes it's not something external. Sometimes we feel like we don't matter because of something internal. It's not that anyone has done anything to make us feel like we don't matter. We just, inside of us, we just believe we don't matter. And that may be not just within the church. That may extend outside of the church to other areas of your life as well. Maybe at work, maybe in your home, you feel like you don't matter. And so because internally you feel like you don't matter, you believe even within the church that you don't matter. And so because we might think we don't matter, whether it's internal or external, we act like we don't matter. And so instead of growing and becoming a functioning part of the body, we're just here. We're part of the body, but we aren't growing. We aren't functioning the way we've been called to. In other words, we aren't properly working. But let me just tell you, when individual parts of the body are not working the way that they're supposed to, the whole body suffers. So back in 2021, early in 2021, before I came as your pastor, my right elbow started hurting. And you know, that was a busy year because then I began talks with this church and we ended up being called here. And so we moved and we were starting a new position. And it was just a busy year. So I just kind of let that pain in my elbow go. And then in 2022, my left elbow started hurting. And so now I've got a pain in my right elbow and my left elbow. I feel like I'm doing the hokey pokey. I'm about to turn myself around. But man, 2022, that was a busy year too. We had a lot going on that year. And so I just kind of let that go as well. And then about a month ago, my left shoulder started hurting. Middle age is no fun. Amen? Amen. Man, I went to the doctor, and I just started listing off everything that's wrong with me. I'm just like, you're going to need a long sheet of paper, right? You got a lot to write down. I feel like I'm falling apart. And so, yes, I've finally gone to the doctor, and I've listed off all this stuff, so I am getting help on some of these things. But I think that we can easily treat the body of the church sometimes the way that I was treating my body. To think, man, it's not that important. It's just one part. You know, initially when it was just one elbow, it's like, okay, maybe I can deal with this. But then two elbows and then my shoulder, as you add all of this up, well, now it's getting harder and harder for my body to function the way it's supposed to. And so as we treat the church body like that, maybe we think, man, I'm not that important. I don't matter that much. There are other stronger parts of the body than me. And because we think we don't matter, we don't do anything to grow. Because we think we don't matter, we don't do anything to mature in our faith. But what happens is that when it's not just one member, but multiple members that feel that way, and let me just tell you, it's never just one member. When there's multiple members of the body that feel that way and that think they don't matter, and so they're not doing anything to grow and to mature in the faith, what happens is the entire body suffers and the church doesn't grow spiritually. So let me say it again, every member matters. If we are going to be a spiritually growing church, that means that every single member must be a spiritually growing member. And so because the individual part matters, Paul moves on to talk about the importance of spiritual growth, not just for the body as a whole, but for the individual members. And so in our passage right now, we're going to see some things that we need to do if we are going to be spiritually growing members here at First Baptist Church Stockdale or at whatever church you are a member of if you are a member somewhere else. So with that in mind, let's read Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 17 through 24. It says, "Therefore, I say this and testify in the Lord, you should no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thoughts. They are darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them and because of the hardness of their hearts. They became callous and gave themselves over to promiscuity for the practice of every kind of impurity with a desire for more and more. But that is not how you came to know Christ, assuming you heard about him and were taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, to take off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness in righteousness and purity of the truth." Now, as we look at this passage, I want to begin by pointing out what Paul says after that word, therefore, because as we look back at this reminder that we are to be growing as individual parts, as individual members within the local church body, Paul is now telling us what we need to do. So he says in the second part of verse 17, you should no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thoughts. Now, if you remember, for the last several weeks, Paul's been talking about unity within the local church, and he's given this reminder the last few weeks that the local church there in Ephesus was made up of both believing Jews and believing Gentiles. And so he's been focusing on this unity between the believing Jews and the believing Gentiles. So why is he now pointing out the Gentiles as the ones that they are not to live like, that they are not to walk like? Well, remember, as Paul talked about these believing Jews and believing Gentiles, Paul is giving this reminder that that is who they were. Jew and Gentile is who they were before they came to Christ. But in Christ, they are no longer Jew or Gentile. In Christ, they are now one. They have a new identity as a Christ follower. So as Paul talks about the Gentiles, that they are no longer to be like, that they are no longer to walk like, Paul is not referring to the Gentiles within the church that are believing Gentiles. Paul is talking about unbelieving Gentiles outside of the church. In other words, Paul is talking about the world. He's talking about the ones that don't have a new identity in Christ. He's talking about the ones that their identity is still solely rooted in who they are in the world. They're Gentiles. And these Gentiles that were not a part of the church, these Gentiles that were not following Christ, they really had a conglomeration of beliefs. There were some Gentiles outside of the church that were likely atheists who didn't believe in any God whatsoever. And so they lived their lives like that. And then there were some Gentiles outside of the church that believed in and that worshiped the false pagan gods of their day. And so their beliefs and their lives were really led by these pagan gods. And so what Paul tells them is that those outside of the church, those that are not worshiping the one true God, you are not to walk like them. You are not to live like them. What he's really saying is, believer, your life should look different than the world. Believer, your life should look different than the world. And if you're here this morning and you would say that you are a follower of Christ, I want you to hear this word from Paul spoken directly to you. Believer, your life should look different than the world. Why? Well, we see some good reasons here in our passage. First, our lives should look different because we are different. By saying you should no longer walk this way, there's an implication that this is how the believers walked before they came to Christ. And this is true of us today. Before we came to Christ, we walked just like the world because we were a part of the world. But now we are in Christ. And so now we no longer should desire to walk like the world and to live like the world. Now we are Christ followers. We have a new identity in Christ, and our lives are to be led by this new identity that we have. So our lives should look different because we are different. Second, our lives should look different because the world is far from God. Look at some of the descriptors that Paul uses there. He says they are darkened in their thoughts. They are excluded from life in God. They have a hardness of their hearts, and they became callous. Now, these are not necessarily things that the world sees about themselves, but this is what God sees when he looks at those who are apart from Christ. Now, this is not to say that God does not love those apart from Christ. It does not mean that God does not offer that same invitation for repentance and salvation to those who are apart from Christ. But apart from Christ, when God looks at mankind in their rebellion, this is what he sees. And so the question is, are these really the people that we want to model our lives after? Do we really want our lives to look like the world? Now, the easy answer for us this morning as we sit in our pews, the easy answer for us is no. No, we don't want our lives to look like the world. But this is what I know to be true. All too often, when we look at the world, our focus is not on these descriptors, darkened in their thoughts, excluded from life in God, hardness of their hearts, callous. Many times our focus is not on these descriptors. Many times when we look at the world, our focus is on maybe the richness of the world. Maybe our focus is on the fame or the popularity of the world. Maybe our focus at a lower level is simply just not standing out, but fitting in with the world. Or maybe even at another level, our focus is simply on the desires of our own hearts. We're not focused on what God wants of us. We are focused on what we want for ourselves. And so we compromise God's word, and we compromise the standard that he has called us to. And in doing so, we look no different than the world. And so I would remind you again, the world is far from God. Do you really want to look like the world? Paul says, no, we are no longer to walk as the Gentiles. Believer, your life should look different than the world. And so because our lives should look different from the world, Paul now is going to tell us two things that we need to do if we're going to grow in our walk with Christ. So let's take a look at these two things right now. First, we need to take off the old self. So in verses 20 through 22, Paul gives us a reminder that living like we did before we came to Christ is not what Christ taught us. This is very important for us to remember that Christ did not teach us to get saved so that we could continue to live in our sins. Getting saved so that we can continue to live in our sins is not only a foreign concept to Scripture, it is a foreign teaching to Jesus. Christ taught to turn from our sins, to go and to sin no more, to turn to Him, to receive forgiveness, salvation, and a new life in Him, not continuing in that old life that we lived prior to coming to Christ. Christ has taught us and called us to live a new life. And so Paul tells them, you were taught by Christ to take off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires. So often our desires deceive us, and we follow these desires, but what we are doing is continuing in our old self. And so we need to take off the old self. So in the 1994 movie, The Shawshank Redemption, the wrongfully accused Andy Dufresne finally escapes from prison. And there's this iconic movie in The Shawshank Redemption where he stands in the rain after escaping from prison. He's standing in the rain and he is ripping off his prison clothes. Now, certainly he is ripping off his prison clothes because he has just crawled through 500 yards of sewage, 5 football-filled lengths of sewage, all right? But he's also ripping off these prison clothes because for the first time in years, he's finally experiencing freedom. Listen, if you're here today and you've given your life to Christ, I want you to hear me. You are no longer a prisoner. So don't live like one. You are no longer a prisoner, so don't live like one. A prisoner is who you were before you came to Christ. You are a prisoner of your sin. You are a prisoner of your shame. You are a prisoner of your addictions. You are a prisoner of your temptation. You are a prisoner of your condemnation. A prisoner is who you were before you came to Christ. But now that you are in Christ, you have been set free. You are no longer a prisoner, so don't live like one. You don't have to wear those prison clothes any longer. You can take the old self off that you might experience and walk in the freedom that you have received in Christ Jesus. Now listen, if you have never given your life to Christ, then let me tell you, you are still in your prison clothes. But not only are you in your prison clothes, you are still in prison to that sin, in prison to that shame. You are still in prison. But today you can come to Christ and you can be set free. You don't have to continue in those prison clothes any longer. So we need to take off the old self. Second and finally, we need to put on the new self. Let's look at verse 24 again. It says, put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness in righteousness and purity of the truth. We need to put on the new self. So imagine that you've been out working on your property. Maybe you've been mowing your lawn. Maybe you've been tending to the fields. Maybe you've been tending to your animals. And it is a hot, sunny day, and it's humid outside. You walk outside, and you get sweaty. And So you've been working out there for hours. You come inside, you take off those dirty, smelly, stinky clothes after your long day of work. You pile them up on the floor and you go get in the shower. And while you're in the shower, man, you use the best body wash or soap. And you clean yourself off head to toe so that you are smelling good. You've got shampoo, you use that shampoo so that your hair is smelling fresh. After you get yourself clean, you turn the water off and you grab your towel. It is fresh out of the dryer. It's still nice and warm. And you wrap yourself up in that towel and you dry off. You feel clean. Now imagine after all of that, cleaning yourself up, going to that pile of clothes on your floor and putting back on those stinky, smelly, dirty clothes. It's a ridiculous thought. It's also a disgusting thought. But listen, this is exactly what we do all too often. We've given our lives to Christ. We have been made clean by Jesus. He has cleaned our spirits head to toe. But then what do? We go back to that pile of stinky, dirty sin. We go back to that same temptation. We go back to that same addiction, and we put our old self back on. And we continue walking the same way we've always walked. And so Paul says, when you take the old self off, don't put your old clothes back on. Don't put your old self back on. Instead, put on the new self. So how do we put on the new self? Verse 23 tells us, we do this when we are renewed in the spirit of our minds. In other words, the output won't look different until the input looks different. If you want your life to look different, if you want to put on the new self, it means you have to put inside of yourself something different than you've always put inside of yourself. It means that maybe you don't go back to the same places you used to go. Maybe you don't go and hang out with the same people you used to hang out with. You don't listen to the same things you used to listen to. You are putting something different into your heart and into your mind than you did before. You see, I think all too often we keep going back to the same old places. We keep going back to the same things that tempt us. We keep going back to the same things that we find our addiction in. We go back to all of these same places, and then we wonder why our life doesn't look any different. The output won't look different until the input looks different. We have to begin to put something new into our life. And so we are to turn to God's Word, and we are to put His truth into our life. And as His truth gets into our life, then all of a sudden we have this desire not to return to the old self, not to put on those dirty, filthy, sinful clothes that we've worn before. Instead, we have a desire to put on the new self. We have a desire to put on the self that we have been called to in Christ Jesus. And listen, this is important for each and every one of us to do. It is important for every single believer and every single member of the body to put on the new self, because every member matters and every member has been called to grow in every way. But maybe you're here and you would say that you aren't growing in every way. You aren't growing in your walk with Christ because you have never started that walk with Christ. If that's you, then I want to give you the opportunity to respond this morning. In just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we do, this is going to be your opportunity to respond to God's Word this morning. And if you're here today and you would say, that's me. I've never trusted in Jesus as my Lord. I've never turned from my sins. Today, I know I'm still in my prison clothes because I am still in the prison of my sin. I've never been set free by Jesus, but today I'm ready to do that. Today, I'm ready to turn from my sins and to confess Jesus as Lord. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond this morning. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. I'm going to be standing right down front. you can come and join me down here. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ, but truth be told, I have not been growing in every way. I've not been growing in God's Word. Maybe you would say, you know what? I've been a believer for 20 years, and I'm still a baby in the faith. Maybe it's time for you to do something different. Maybe it's time for you to begin studying God's Word and growing in God's Word that you might become a mature believer in the faith. If you need to confess that to the Lord, you can do that right where you're at. But if you'd like someone to pray with you, then I'd love to do that as well. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ, but I've never taken that next step of baptism to publicly profess my faith in Christ through baptism. Listen, we don't believe that baptism saves us, but we do believe that it's something that God has called every single born-again believer to do, to make their faith in Christ public in that way. And so if you need to make that commitment this morning for baptism, then I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've already been baptized by immersion. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale. I know God's calling me to make this my church home, to connect my life with this body of believers, that I might grow with this body of believers. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. But whatever it is that God's calling you to do in these final moments, I would encourage you to respond obediently. Stand with me right now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.